You're listening to Critical Inn, episode number 98.
The episode not created by Stan Lee. It's true. Stanley created just about like all of the original Marvel stable of characters, but he did not create Captain America. If I recall, Captain America was already a published book when they hired Stan Lee as like a copy assistant or editor runner or something, some lowly job.
Was this actually during World War II?
Probably.
Wow.
No, it must have been just before. Well, now I question.
Wait, just before? Seriously? Like these people are old.
Well, now I question it because I think. The cover that you see in this movie, Captain America, the first Avenger,
right.
when they release Captain America's comic book, I think that's the first issue with Captain America, which does involve him punching Hitler, but I don't know if that was...
That's such an extreme.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Wikipedia page open to it because I don't know everything about Captain America. I am no expert, certainly. Well, I don't want to go through this, but I think, right. If I'm correct, it was already being published, then they drafted Stan Lee, so he was in the war for a while, came back to comics, and I think that he came back... Oh, wait a minute. Actually, I might be wrong. Maybe they drafted Joe Simon, and that's why he started writing it. Okay, I don't know the answer to your question, is my answer. Hold on, wait. I can at least say March 1941, so yeah, World War II was already going on in 1941.
I felt like then any cover of someone punching Hitler was an instant bestseller.
Oh, yeah, Superman
did we ever have a... Yeah, I was about to say, do we have a Superman punching Hitler?
Yeah.
Because his head would just fly right off, Ryan.
It's true. It makes no much sense. He definitely fought Hitler. A lot of the superheroes were in the wars.
What makes me mad is that means Superman must have pulled back a bit.
Right.
Like, he could have killed Hitler right then, but no, he just wanted to punch him. Just bruise him up a bit.
I wonder, let's see. Hold on. I wonder if they ever explained why he didn't kill Hitler.
No, that's
my first question.
Like, Ryan, Mad Magazine had, like, Alfred E. Newman punch Hitler. I mean, it's like a little Jewish kid punching Hitler. Where are we at now? It's like, well, I don't know. I don't think you opened it up and actually read the whole Hitler thing inside. I think
bam, there, I just sent it to you.
You can all see this at home. Hold on, what did you just send me? Because I'm not, like, arguing with you.
These are old, no, we're not really arguing. Those are old covers of both Batman and Superman in Hitler-related stories.
You guys can't see this Superman one, but it's pretty awesome. Hitler is holding up, I guess, Mussolini? I don't know. With one hand, and Hitler... this other guy's obviously Japanese, because it's incredibly racist.
Yeah.
So whoever some evil Japanese guy is, and then Hitler, with the other hand. And both of them are just so shocked and kicking around. And also, Superman is taller than clouds for some reason. Meanwhile, on the Batman cover, this is... Batman, instead of doing something heroic, like lifting them up in the air like Superman is,
it's true.
Has dropped a large firecracker in their path and run away with Robin, holding his shoulder. He's like, tee-hee, Robin, we got them good.
It was more, let's see, was this Batman's actual book? Yeah, it was Batman's book, too. It's more, it looks like it was more comic.
These are both great comics.
Hold
these
on,
are just,
I'm about to send you the best one, though. There.
Well, these are just waiting to be blown up and placed on my wall, right?
Oh, yeah.
These are awesome. Let's see here. Meanwhile, over on whoever produced Captain Marvel Jr., who was set down from Captain Marvel. Like, how old did you have to be to read Captain Marvel Jr.?
Well, it wasn't Junior Comics. It was... Never mind, go on.
Well, they're asking, why is Captain Marvel so happy? And why is Hitler so miserable? Ryan, if you want to turn out, you need to turn to page 4, exactly.
Miserable Hitler is the cutest Hitler. He's so upset about everything.
Oh, Hitler's like, I can't believe I ate it the whole thing.
Right.
I like how you turn to page 4 for the answer. Like, I don't know what's on the first 3 pages, because it seems pretty pressing to me.
They kind of buried the lead. It's like, we'll get to that Hitler thing in a second, but first 3 pages of this.
Turn to page 4 for the answer, and then underneath that, 68 pages in full color.
Oh, yeah.
Stick any one of these pages. Page 4 must have been important. That was the money page back then. If it wasn't on page 4, it didn't happen. Oh, I love this Superman-Batman thing. This has got to go. You'll have to post this in the comments section or something like that so everyone can see this. I want this Batman comic. I want to read it with my eyes.
You can.
I know.
Probably. I don't know.
I'm sure there's some like DVD ROM that has the entire like Batman catalog up to some date.
Yeah, DC Comics has a lot of archived comics that are available online. I don't know if this one would be one. But, you know, they're moving everything to digital soon, so you'll be able to get that stuff.
Speaking of Batman, here's some. This is we're doing a Captain America show, by the way. We're now in DC somehow.
I have confirmed that Captain America, the one where he punches Hitler, is the first one. It was 1941, so the war was already going on.
Most awesome. Well, while Batman was throwing a firecracker at him, and Superman was just lifting him in the air, Captain America was the only one with the balls to actually punch him in the face.
Batman's a human. I mean, he won't knock his head off. They could show him punching Hitler.
Yeah. So why didn't you just throw a giant firecracker at them?
It's a gimmicky thing, I guess.
He had Robin with him. Robin could distract him. He could have snuck up behind him and punched him in the back of the face. There's a back of the face.
When I look up Batman Hitler, I just get Adolf Hitler on the Batman wiki.
I just get this weird Photoshop picture of Hitler sitting in the Batmobile from the 60s TV show.
Oh, I guess that's the only issue he appeared in. Anyway.
I forgot where I was going. Oh, yeah. While we're on the service, while we're talking about DC, Ryan. Which is completely different than Marvel, which Captain America is. I like to point out that I just now learned today, and this is probably something if I would have thought about, I would have figured out on my own, that The Dark Knight, which was the last Batman movie, was the first ever Batman cinematic experience where you could see Batman turn his head.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, other than the Adam West version.
The Adam West, right. I guess Batman the movie was in theaters, yeah? Can we assume
Oh, yeah, that? Batman the movie 66, that was in theaters, I believe.
Yeah. After 1966, Batman cannot turn his head for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Because he's wearing a bat helmet now instead of this rubberized bat
thing. Exactly right. So that's I'd say losing the nipples and getting a helmet is a step up.
Oh yeah, that's a plus, definitely. Okay.
Cool. Although there wasn't enough nipples in the last Batman movie, if you ask me.
That's true.
It had Aaron Eckhart, right? There should be nipples a flying.
Well, you know, there was definitely nipples in Captain America, the rippling pecs. No doubt of Mr. Chris Evans portraying Steve Rogers.
And his non-rippling pecs as well.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I've been telling everyone they did the Facebook/Benjamin Button effect of hiring a body double and then placing so-and-so's head over, right?
That's what I thought they did.
IMDb is telling me wrong. That's wrong, actually. And what it's actually telling me is that this is insane, and apparently it's a first, is that they actually shaved his body down in post. Because Joe Johnson, the director, said that they couldn't find anyone who moved like Chris Evans, so they could never get to match up right.
Huh.
And so they just had him doing it, and in post they actually cut down a lot of his body until it was just down to what they needed to look like, and then they, you know, did whatever they needed to.
Seems very challenging.
What you're actually seeing, it's funny, because I initially, in the first trailer, even though I grew to, like, instantly accept this right away, in the first trailer I complained about, like, the weird floating head effect. Well, it's actually a whole floating body effect, if you think about it.
Well, I never actually picked up on the head effect, the floating head effect.
Yeah, we're looking at the head as it connects to the neck more than anything else. And the whole thing's a little off, it seems. But no, I thought it looked pretty good in this movie. I have no complaints about that whatsoever.
So they were just giving him, like, goofy oversized clothes and hats to wear, and then, like, putting him on, like, lower than everyone else and that kind of thing?
Yeah, right. Just, like, shaving it down later on. I wonder if he's wearing maybe, like, a green suit or something.
It looked really realistic.
It did. It looked pretty good. Anyway, okay, so Captain America. Ryan, where are we at here in Captain America? This is an origin story. I know that much to be true.
It is, and it follows a lot of what I know about the character, but I am not a huge Captain America fan. Much like Iron Man and Thor, I read their exploits in the Avengers when they were all together, but I did not read Captain America's solo book very often at all. Although, much like Iron Man, this makes me want to. After seeing the movie, I'm like, I should read more Captain America.
Captain America's wholesome. He's like, you leave the theater after this movie, you're like, God bless you, America.
It makes you feel good about America, which a lot of movies and politics don't.
It's true. I think Entertainment Weekly said this great quote. Said this movie is actually so wholesome it could have been made during World War II, and so much of it seems that way too.
Well, purposely, it purposely evokes movies from that era, like old sort of serials. Of like, come on, champ, we gotta go. Like, it's that, but it's not so much that it's schmaltzy necessarily. It's just enough of that where it feels like, oh, I see what you're doing here.
And that's why I like Joe Johnson as director. And that's what he's brought to stuff like The Rocketeer, October Sky, and even things like The Wolfman. I felt. He has this great style that he brings to this, and, like, so it's, like, the slightly, like, Joe Dante-type wink, but it's not full-on, I guess.
And, you know, I was worried about, after not really liking The Wolfman, I was worried about this guy doing Captain America, but he hit the tone and the pacing pretty perfectly, I would say.
Let's get a story first. Okay, so, yeah, you're not up so much on, you know, where it stands as far as the comic goes. What's the movie telling us as far as the
Captain America, and this is basically true to the comic from my understanding, is that he is a weakling, Steve Rogers, who is so patriotic he just really wants to join the war effort and sign up and give hell to Hitler, Logan. But he can't get in because he's 4F. He's got all sorts of problems. He's a scrawny weakling. He'll never get in. However, he is accepted into a super secret program called the Super Soldier Program.
Thanks, Stanley Tucci.
Indeed. that will, if it works, turn him into the perfect physical specimen. So what this means is that Captain America does not have super strength or super agility or super senses or anything like that. However, all those things are as good as they could ever be for a person, for a regular human. So he is not going to be Superman strong, and they sort of play with that a little bit, or they sort of exaggerate that a little bit in the movie where he does some things that are a little bit too strong, but whatever. He is not superhuman strong, but he is as strong as
But
any
he's country
human
strong.
can be. He is country
Yes.
strong, which is why
That's
Gwyneth
right.
Paltrow plays him in the spin-off.
Weird floating head effect. It was a little
They
bizarre.
made her, yeah,
Yeah.
they made her a young kid from Brooklyn with CGI.
The kid from Indiana Jones, to be exact.
Well,
Young Asian boy.
speaking of
Yes.
Indiana Jones, this movie evokes Indiana Jones left and right with
Right.
the Nazi mysticism stuff and just all that sort of like evil, like, 40s serial Nazi adventure tone.
It makes you think Crystal Skull would have benefited from dropping all the Crystal Skull stuff and having a Red Skull instead as like a villain.
Exactly. Oh, God.
Pretty awesome now I think about it.
That would be.
Anyway, go ahead.
So anyway, the program makes him super strong, and now he can fight in the war like he wants to. And this is something, I don't know if they made it explicit in the early Captain America comics. I think it was more a running theme later, and I'm really glad to see it in the movie, is, and I love this, this gave me chills when I first heard it in the trailer when Stanley Tucci is talking to Steve, and he says, "Why did you pick me for the program?" And he says, "Because a weak man knows the value of strength." And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. Like, Captain America isn't a hero because he's strong. He's a hero because he's a hero inside, Logan. He's just got
Right.
a, he's a great old American kid.
It's important.
It is.
We're all like that in America.
Absolutely. Last to the last, good to the last drop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just after the serum is successful, but just after the scientist who created it is killed by some of Hydra's goons. Now, Hydra is
No.
an organization that's working for the Nazis, but they're separate from the Nazis. That way, we don't have to do a lot of Nazis in this ostensibly kids
Yeah,
movie.
they're to think about it this way, right? They're actually so comic book evil that we're told that they think Hitler's not bad enough.
Basically, yeah, Red Skull is worse than Hitler.
See, Hitler salutes one hand, they do two, Ryan.
That's true.
It's a little goofy, but okay.
But anyway, and so they kill him there. They also are they're being run by the Red Skull, played by Hugo Weaving, who is
Yeah, from Wolfman pulled out right away, it seems like.
indeed.
Doing a slightly goofy German accent, but I think he plays the character well enough that you can kind of forgive that. I think it pretty much disappeared too by the time he became Red Skull in the movie.
The German accent is just the right kind of over the top, though,
Right.
to
But
me.
you, there's a lot of that. Like Stanley Tucci's like pretty much doing a cartoon character German accent,
Exactly.
but it works so well for this movie that you're along for that ride.
He plays it up completely, and it's like it's all every like every section of this movie is like a loving nod to old movies from the 40s and old, war, well, the way we viewed war in the 40s, essentially. But anyway, so he becomes a hero, basically skipping some things. He becomes a hero. He's got to go like save one of his friends, and then ultimately go toe to toe with the Red Skull because the Red Skull is trying to actually destroy the basically or rule anyway the entire world. Important note here: the Red Skull is
Was not was a fictional character.
it's
He
not
didn't actually
real, and
appear.
you should not be alarmed in your homes.
I'm in my escape pod right now. Yes, go ahead.
No, they. I don't think this was ever tied together. This would have been before Thor, I think. Well, I don't think this was ever tied together in the comics. But Red Skull is gaining his power from this artifact that they find, which is Indiana Jones-like and makes total sense with the Nazis' mysticism stuff. But the artifact is actually supposedly coming from the throne room of Odin, who we met in Thor.
Exactly. And it's actually an artifact you saw in Thor, too.
Exactly. Was that the artifact at the very end?
Yes, it was. Because
Okay.
remember I asked you about that, like the cosmic cube, I think it
Is
is.
that the Cosmic Cube? How did I not know
You're
that?
the nerd here. Don't let me shock you with these things.
Oh my God, how did I not
All right,
pick?
turn to page 4 for the to learn about the
I've never
cosmic
read the
cube.
Cosmic Cube stuff, but I know its importance, and that's cool. So I guess the Avengers is going to be a Cosmic Cube story. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of a lot of lead in here. You have to kind of see Thor. It's weird because I didn't recommend Thor, but this movie makes Thor look better, honestly. Okay, that makes it sound like this movie's bad.
Yeah,
This movie makes Thor look pretty good in retrospect, I guess I should. Okay, that's
that
also
still
something
sounds
bad.
bad.
It made me like want to see Thor, I guess.
This movie makes
Like,
Thor seem valuable to watch, is what I
yeah,
mean.
exactly. There you go. I hate using the word valuable Thor though. Anyway, okay, so yeah, the cosmic cube thing is a big thing here as far as motivation for our villain.
Right. And basically, it sort of plays out like an old 40s serial from then. But it's at every turn bolstered by across the board excellent performances, I would say.
toss in a female lead who was not recognizable but did pretty well in the part, I thought.
Agreed.
And Tony Stark's dad, I know we're getting a little weird here, but this is how like they're stressing this universe and trying to connect it so well.
Right.
Who I liked a lot in this movie. And when he first walked on screen, I was like, okay, they either hired Topher Grace and made him look like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Or they did some really weird effect to Robert Downey Jr.'s face. But they hired someone who looked perfect, like looked just like his dad. And was it the second Iron Man where Tony Stark's like older dad was actually played like the guy from Mad Men or something?
Yes.
Like that? Okay. Still all pretty cool. Okay, so we got all this laid out here. We seem pretty excited about this movie so far. So where to go from there, Ryan?
Well, I don't think we need too much more plot except to say, Tommy Lee Jones is in it too, by the way.
That's a capper, I think. We'll get to that. You don't have to like toss any more plot out our way. Talk about where'd the movie take you, I guess.
Okay.
You think?
I really liked the movie because unlike
I really like movies.
I just like movies, Logan. Unlike The Wolfman, to go back to Johnson's previous movie. This movie was thematically on point in every scene. Like, it started out with this kid who is just super patriotic, and he doesn't like bullies, and that's why he wants to go fight the war. In fact, a really great scene at the beginning, when Stanley Tucci first meets him, he goes, so you're ready to, you know, you want to go kill some Nazis, right? And I was like, well, I kind of don't like this, but I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be yes. I mean, like, it's a little...
Right.
I mean, you can't... Look, there's nothing wrong with killing Nazis, right? Are we living in this... I mean, look, if it's okay to kill anyone, it's Nazis, right?
Yeah, they're the only bad guy, I think, that's not offensive to anyone, right?
You can kill a million Nazis and be fine. And be
as
lauded
jump fruit, yeah.
Last weekend, I did. No. But his answer delivered perfectly by CGI-shaved Chris Evans.
Now you're stuck on this now, too. Okay, go ahead.
Is, I don't want to kill anybody. I just hate bullies. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Great.
Perfect. I love it, too. That's even that's stuck in my head. That's such a memorable line now.
Yeah.
That had to be pulled from the comic at some point, I'm sure.
It probably was.
Also, also stuck in my head, by the way, is you, how offensive is this? Is you at a Holocaust camp, but for Nazis?
Wait, I made a Holocaust camp. I made a concentration camp for Nazis.
You're, yes.
I'm running it. Is this your premise?
You're like the Schindler, see? You're in charge of getting certain Nazis in and out.
Wait, I'm saving Nazis? What am I doing?
You're the Schindler in this. I'm sorry. It's been assigned already.
I'm the Schindler, but I'm actually doing the real job, and I'm actually delivering them to concentration camps.
I knew what Schindler was supposed to be doing, yeah.
Okay. So it's not
Nazis
that...
might slip through,
there's not as much drama in my version of the story.
Like, it's like Bradley Cooper as a Nazi. You'll let him slip through, right?
Well, sure. Why not? Yeah. He's lovable.
Liam Neeson's another Nazi. In fact, the whole cast of that 18 movies here.
Yeah, I mean, if it's face, I'll probably let him get away with it because he'll talk me in. Look, I'm not letting any Nazis get away with anything, Logan.
I'm not letting any Nazis in my Holocaust camp, Logan.
No girls are Nazis allowed in my tree fort. You know that.
Okay, I'm making the Holocaust comedy.
We've
with the size of
this
no fat chicks.
That's not even funny.
Oh, man, but I laughed.
All right. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that character trait is the most important one of Steve Rogers, and it carries through the whole movie of, like, regardless of what needs to be done, he's going to do it to stop these people from taking advantage of people who are weaker, because he has been taken advantage of when he was weaker. Now that he's strong, he hasn't changed anything. So, and I thought that when he gets strong, we're going to just jump right into the movie, and it's going to be a war movie, and I was fine with that. But there's this brilliant little sidestep where basically Tommy Lee Jones says, you were an experiment, you're not ready yet, you can go get tested at this lab, but we're not going to put you in battle without testing it, and this experiment sucks because I only got one guy, because, you know, blah, 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 so forget it. And he ends up joining, like, basically the USO instead, and becoming, like, a laughable sort of guy dressed up in a costume, which was a cool
right.
way to get him into the costume, and a cool way to sort of...
Like the retro costume.
Yeah, the retro version of the costume. To not only say, okay, fans, here's your fan service of seeing him in this old costume, but also,
Believe
you know,
it.
We're also going to admit that it's kind of silly by sort of making
right.
fun of it. And then he goes to, like, the world loves him. He's like the icon. Then he goes to, you know, do the performance with actual soldiers, and they basically boo him because he's not a real
good.
Soldier.
Right.
And he realizes he has to step up and actually go out in the battle. Anyway, Every chance that this movie gets, it's on its point that it sets up in the beginning of the film, which is excellent, and it does a pretty good job of paying that whole thing off at the end of the film. I would say that I was really excited about this movie, and I still like it a lot, but I think the ending is weak for a couple reasons, partially because I think that the climax that he sort of wins a little too easily, and I was hoping this would be similar to, I can't think of a good example right now, but one of those movies where there's like, you think it's climax, there's actually an extra double climax that we find out, oh wait, he's still
right.
alive, or something happens. And there's definitely a lot of opportunity for that in a sequel, and of course they want to save a lot for the Avengers movie. But this way this ended, I thought, I expected a little bit more from the final moments and a little bit more from the villain.
I agree. And it kind of just ends in like one line. It's like, well, that happened. But, you know, I think a problem here is the, I don't know how they're going to do this. I don't want to ruin anything. But it kind of ends in the same place Thor ends. I'm like, okay, so how are they going to end up getting all these people together for a, for the Avengers movie? Because I don't know. Is the Avengers movie going to pick up where Thor and Captain America ended? Do you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah, I mean, I think they both end with Samuel L. Jackson saying, I have a job for you, and it's going to be the
right.
same job.
Right, that's the, yeah, all that makes sense to me. Although, I guess not in the Thor way, because Thor actually went back to his own planet, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
they're going to have to go get him. Yeah.
So they'll have to get him. But they both end, and once again, I don't want to give too much away, but kind of like Love Lost, where it's like they're at this point where they're like, they need to find some way to get back to their woman.
That's true. Actually,
and
I didn't
that's
think
kind
of that.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to somehow, because if so, they have a lot to work into in what Avengers movie. With all these individual characters, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if... her name was Peggy. I don't know if that character exists in the Captain America comics or if there's some precedent for her coming back in the modern time like Captain America does.
Right.
Which I guess that's a little bit... Well, it's not really a spoiler. They set that up at the beginning of the film. But...
Peggy.
So I don't know if that's actually possible. I mean, you could do it with Thor, obviously. He can come back to Earth and visit Natalie Portman.
Right.
You know?
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? But and then of course, if you stay towards the end, there's an all-out trailer or a teaser for Avengers that really did get me excited for it.
Which yeah, that's nothing. Everyone's been talking about that for a while. I was actually really excited to see that too. I like how it's kind of set up as just the usual, like, oh, here's one of those tags you see to all these at the end of all these movies so
right.
far, where they just have like Captain America there, but then it leads into something bigger than that.
Right.
And that's cool. And I was like. I got into it, and the theater, like, cheering kind of, like, urged me to do so as well.
Right.
My thoughts on Captain America, though, slightly different than yours.
Okay.
You know, I'm a huge fan of this director. I've been a fan of, like, I can't think of many of his movies I didn't like so much, but off the top of my head, just quickly, I think this is the one I like the least. I know it sounds weird, because you know I was, like, really excited about this movie, and I'm not big into superhero movies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I liked a lot that this movie did, and a lot of it's the time period, because it's in the 40s, right? They couldn't do the whole, like, oh, here's Hawkeye, and here's some woman who's a cat lady or something like that, and here's that other person. Like, that, to me, you know, was so tiring in in Thor.
What part of it was tiring? The introducing characters or the fact they were goofy?
In Thor, that they were just, like, running that into the ground, like, oh, here's someone, like, the Hawkeye thing I thought, you know, I pointed out Thor was just incredibly goofy, if you don't know any better, because basically they're like, we need you to get to the top of this tower and shoot this guy. And so he, like, looks over and there's this huge range of, like, guns that he should be taking, like, sniper rifles. He's like, I'll take the bow and arrow.
That's the
Why
weapon
not?
He's the best with, clearly.
No, I know that, but see, if I don't, like, right, if I'm just watching this movie and all of a sudden, like, out of nowhere, this guy suddenly gets, like, 5 minutes of screen time, who, like, there's never any other payoff.
Yeah, that part's true.
And then on top of that, I'm like, why is he grabbing the bow and what's with this guy? He's so weird. He got a Hawkeye or something.
Uh-huh.
And then Thor also was pretty bad, just throwing other ones in. Like, I remember the one guy's like, there's this guy who turned into the Incredible Hulk one time, and that was the thing. Like, just throwing that out there. And then you're like, when some big robot came out, like, is this one of Tony Stark's or something? Huh? Tony Stark, everybody. Just those things
I
are really
I didn't have that reaction, but go on.
But I guess if you're going to see these movies anyway, those are the things you want. And I think, you know, personally, I'm all for them trying to connect these universes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's one thing I liked about this movie is it didn't have a chance to do that because it was set in the 40s. I'm like, oh, this is a nice change of pace. I could sit back and actually enjoy a movie about this one superhero and not have to worry about where else this, like, all these other superheroes are coming from, how else they're going to fit to this guy's life, okay?
All right, yeah.
And when they do get around to that in the movie, it works out well. And they're just kind of like, it's kind of like a just tag on and whatnot. And that part's nice. Okay, all that aside. So I was with this movie at the beginning. I like everything that you talk about. Like, okay, cool. He's on his way to becoming Captain America. I see this, like, heart of gold that he has, and he really wants to, like, win one for the Gipper and whatnot, right? This is a great guy, okay? Then he becomes Captain America. I'm like, oh, cool, now he's Captain America. This is going to be awesome. Meanwhile in Germany, Hugo Weaving is like, oh, I'm evil. I'm Red Skull. Look at all this crazy stuff I'm doing. Someday I'll meet Captain America and we'll have to fight.
Right.
Later on in the movie. Yeah, one day that Captain America will show up and we'll fight. Oh, there he is right now. Hey, Captain America. So, well, let's flash back for a second, okay? Because now he's become Captain America, And he gets drafted to this USO show thing, and I'm laughing. This is kind of funny when I'm like that he's being put to use, and there's a Stan Lee cameo, and then he's wearing this old outfit and everything, and you get to see the comic book. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool and whatnot. Right. But then he does that for a while. I'm like, okay, you're Captain America. Maybe you should go do something. And I'm looking at my watch, and finally he's Captain America. He does something. He finally meets Red Skull, and we actually see that he's Red Skull. I'm like, oh, this is cool. They're next to each other, and then he's going, okay, well, okay, fine, I guess. We'll look at what else is going on here. Then he doesn't do much else for the rest of the movie, and finally it comes time to fight Red Skull, and it's pretty much over.
Yeah.
I felt that they kept the villain and the hero separated far too long in this movie. When they finally did, and you actually complained about this too, when they finally did get them together, there wasn't enough conflict, there wasn't enough like action to be impactful, and like seemed like a big payoff to me. There wasn't a payoff here. They seemed more interested in the payoff that was to come after that we sort of got from the opening of this film. As far as like, oh, here's, you know, a teaser of what the third act might lead to.
Right.
Which, you know, that's an okay thing, I guess. But I guess my biggest problem was that he's not Captain America, and I'm okay with that. Because he's well on his way to becoming Captain America. You need all this stuff. He's a great character. I'm loving everything he's doing. Now he's going through boot camp and everything. Tommy Lee Jones is there. And personally, I thought this was Tommy Lee Jones' best part since The Fugitive. As far as, like, give me one of those little donuts with sprinkles on top. Like, I love all that stuff, right?
Yeah, he had a lot of great one-liners. My favorite being, I'm not kissing you.
Yeah, that's great. And delivered just like he did, too.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good. And all that stuff's well and fine and all. And then he becomes Captain America, and I was okay with what they did there. And I thought it was funny. I thought a lot of this movie was actually funny. But I think they did that for too long, and they seem to forget there was this villain. And there's this great villain. And then when he actually does meet him, there's nothing there. He's just kind of like, you're the guy I'm going to have to watch out for. And then it just there's nothing till the end of the movie, and it's over all too quickly, I think. I think where this kind of falls in the same place, you might remember a long time ago when I talked about Sherlock Holmes. I felt this movie could have been a lot better, and if anything, I'm more excited about sequels starring this character.
Have they announced a sequel of Avengers? Did they announce another Captain America?
I think everything's in all roads lead to the Avengers.
Yeah, okay.
I think the Avengers, this is my own personal guess, and you know I know nothing at all about these movies. The Avengers will split off in the new roads. Like, the end of the Avengers will be kind of like, if all roads are leading to it right now, all roads will lead out to all these other sequels for these characters, leading back eventually to another Avengers movie. I think that they're kind of, not to make some bad Marvel Spider-Man type joke, but they're kind of building this web here that they have some sort of maybe master plan for.
Yeah.
But good for them. I like that, honestly. And you know, I'm not huge in these comic book movies, but even I'm excited about Avengers after this.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I agree with what you said about the ending, too. I feel like there was maybe a lack of the villain having... There's not much to the Red Skull, as far as I understand. He's just power hungry. So there's not we needed sort of an emotional connection between him and Captain America that made it a good reason for them to... Well, okay, we got a little one, but a better reason for them to fight, you know?
Well, we know that, you know, the side effect was he became the Red Skull of this experience, right?
Yes.
But did he also... Was he implying that he also gained, like, this... Yeah, I think he did, because I think we saw it several times. He also had the Captain America power, though, of, like, the... Whatever, like, a superhuman...
He has some degree of enhanced strength and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, you're right. He didn't have much to go off of besides the fact that he was power hungry. But there was more to it there, because he had built this whole army up and everything, and all that's kind of tossed aside really quick. Like I said, I think it really... If anything, they were just too excited to get to this ending that leads to the Avengers movie, which is fine, I guess.
I agree with you. I think that everything leading up to it was really great. I think that if it had one more shot in the arm of an extra climax of, like, you thought it was over, but holy shit, then it would have taken care of that issue.
I'm all for that. They could have cut some of the length earlier on, too. I felt there were some things that were unnecessary. It was kind of a padded film in some ways, but for the most part... is one I really enjoy. It's a good summer movie for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does, like you were saying, end in sort of a weird place because it's very unresolved. And of course, everyone knows it'll be resolved or something. It will happen at least in the in Avengers. And it would be really great if the Avengers was not only a good standalone movie, which I think is going to be difficult enough with all those characters. Although Joss Whedon can write ensemble stuff.
Of course.
But I think that it would be great if, on top of being a good standalone movie, it resolved all the loose threads from the movies that it led up to it.
That's what I'm worried
about. That's a lot to ask, though.
And I'm really only looking at this and Thor, but both of those have left way too much open in the end, as far as their own personal stories go, for me to be happy unless they're each getting their own personal moment in the sun in the Avengers movie.
You have to hope they do, right? I mean...
You would think they have to, but this is such a huge cast. I mean, we have Robert Downey Jr., right? He's, like, overshadowing everyone in this movie, you know?
Well, I'm worried about that because I keep hearing rumors he's barely in it.
See,
he's barely in that trailer. You see him as the thing at the end, and then you see Iron Man once.
It's funny because the I won't we won't count the first part of that teaser trailer because that was kind of like the Captain America teaser, the part that like tricked you into thinking it was just Captain America thing, right? But other than that, I think he was the only person that got a line in that teaser.
Yes.
I think Robert Downey Jr. has one at the end, and that's it. It's kind of like one of those, like, hey, I'm in this movie, gotta go. Lines.
Although, did you understand it? Because he mumbled it, and I didn't really get it. Something about a mean swing, maybe?
Yeah, right. It's kind of like some of the fanboys. Like, oh,
Thor.
Right, okay, there you go. Also, there was some unique comic book trivia, and maybe you might know this, but apparently, maybe able to confirm or deny, but apparently Captain America's the only person that can lift, the only, like, human that can lift Thor's hammer.
Not the only one, but he's one of them, yes. He's worthy to lift Thor's hammer, yes.
Worthy to lift, there we go, okay,
yeah,
cool.
It's not strength-wise, it's if you're worthy.
Right, well, that's kind of neat. Yeah, I can see that with Captain America,
totally.
Too. You gotta like that Captain America, he's
totally.
A good guy. Mm-hmm. But that's cool.
So hopefully that'll come into play.
That'd be nice if it did. I'm sure it will at some important part of the film. Captain America of Me, I recommend it on several levels. I think it's a great summer movie. But in the end, it didn't quite reach the heights I wanted to, and it gets a 6.
Okay. It gets an 8 for me. I think that it is all in out a great movie. I think that the ending is a little weak, which is what misses out on giving it a 9, which I was considering doing a lot of the movie. It does, you know, I'm a fan, certainly, of Captain America as a character. I never really read much of the solo comics, but I've read him in other comics and liked the character a lot. So as coming from that place, it was really cool to see this stuff realized in a cool way, especially because Red Skull looked goofy in the pictures I'd seen of him, but they really did it well.
Oh yeah, they looked good. Yeah.
So anyway, I enjoyed it quite a bit. I gave it an 8. There's some caveats to it, but I think that if you like the character and like comics, you will like this movie. And also, if you had any question about Chris Evans, he really delivers in the part.
Well, I'm going to step out on a limb here and tell you guys the same thing I'm going to tell you for the Harry Potter one, too. To listen to Ryan's opinion here, because he's a fan of these things, and if anything, I think you know where you're coming from, Ryan, and what to expect from this sort of thing. While I'm just kind of like, you know, I like Captain America. He makes good movies. That one with Dolph Lundgren is pretty awesome. And then, you know, I go and see this. So, as a Captain America fan, I'm glad to hear that you liked it. I actually saw a big Captain America fan, and he gave the exact same rating as you.
That was the Punisher with Dolph Lundgren, Logan. Come on now.
That was kind of the point that I was going for.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, to your point, one of the first scenes of the movie is you see a big black German, you know, sedan.
Somehow leave a Dolph Lundgren insult? Okay, go ahead.
No, it rolls up, and like it's this dramatic shot of this evil-looking car roll up, and perfectly in frame, the hood ornament is the Hydra symbol. And if that just gives you chills thinking about it, you will enjoy this movie.
I was like, that's not historically accurate.
Yeah, that's true, it's not.
In the theater. More popcorn!
This might be fiction!
Stop, we're all in trouble!
I'll elbow him kind of next year.
Alone?
Oh, hey, Tim Allen! Callbacks.
What? Yeah, right. Oh, an obscure callback. Well, almost 100 episodes. If you listen to them all, you'll know what we're talking about at this point. No, you're like, what? Are they reviewing movies? Is that what they're talking?
Don't get it. Logan, I just learned this just now because I wanted to know who this actor was, and I was surprised to see who it was because he was really great in this movie. Can you name the connection between Harry Potter and this movie?
Yes, and I could have until you mentioned this, actually. So, no, I got nothing.
Apparently, Toby Jones, who is great as Doctor... Is it Dr. Zoll? I remember this guy's... Zoll, that's right, from the comics. Is great as the evil German doctor, is also the voice of Dobby from the Harry Potter movies.
I would not have known that. Wait, hold on, wait. We're talking about kind of like Red Skull's sidekick?
Yes.
Really? The guy from The Mist. He's a Frank Darabont favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He has been in other stuff like that. That's right.
So, yeah, I always recognize him kind of as the underdog who has this big moment, in this, according to Frank Darabont films, where he, like, shoots the bad woman or something like that.
They dressed him perfectly as one of the guys from, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark. They looked like...
Sure, yeah. You know, I would not have put him as a Dobby voice, though. Wow.
Yeah, me neither.
No, when you mentioned this, though, I thought he was the Harry Potter connection. I think I'd read that somewhere. Maybe I heard it on Critical End Podcast just now when you said it.
Favorite
podcast.
Logan, I have something I want to mention to you, but I tell you what, just in case, because it's a minor spoiler, you'll probably know it if you know the comics, but if you haven't seen the movie, we're going to put it after the credits. We'll spoiler duck this. So after the credits, listen to a little bit of us talking about some slightly spoilery things from Captain America.
Oh, yay, spoiler duck, our last spoiler duck before episode 100.
Totally. Probably. Who knows? Captain Cowboys and Aliens might be spoilerific. Who knows?
That's right. Who knows? Stick around for a special spoiler duck.
Yes.
So 8 from you. Pretty high rating, Ryan.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit. I was a little bit worried about the Chris Evans thing. I mean, he was great as Johnny Storm in a terrible movie. Not terrible, but not a good one. So I was kind of worried about giving him a different Marvel part, a much more high profile kind of part. But yeah, I think he knocked it out of the park, to be
Yeah,
honest
Grant
with you.
Scott Pilgrim as well, it's like to point out.
I don't remember. Oh yeah,
Oh.
that's right, of course.
I was about to
Yeah.
say, it can't be forgettable. You need to be like Logan and have Scott Pilgrim just on your TV all the time.
That's true.
One of those movies I can really just watch over and over again.
He was great in that. You're absolutely right.
Good stuff, though.
With fellow superheroes Brandon Routh and Thomas Jane.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Thomas Jane. No one will remember him in the League of Superheroes, though. I think that second guy, who no one even knows his name from the second Punisher movie, is more memorable.
That's probably true.
All right. Okay, so Captain America. Next week, Cowboys and Aliens, as I think you said.
I'm excited.
That'll be the wrap-up before
Iron Man
episode
3's
100.
director.
Yeah, that's kind of
or
cool.
2's
So,
director 1.
Iron Man 2, right, yeah. I thought you might know if Iron Man 3 is coming or not.
No, sorry, Iron Man 3 was Shane Black as Iron Man 3's director, right?
I'm sorry?
Shane Black is Iron Man 3's director, I believe.
Oh, is he really?
Huh?
Good for him.
Yeah.
I like to see that guy working still.
Well, he and Downey Jr. did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, so it'll be great.
Right, that's true, too. I forgot about that. That's a good movie. It's a great movie, actually. Cowboys vs. Aliens, this is some random trivia for you, because this just ended, and we were talking about nerd stuff anyway. First movie ever to premiere at Comic-Con.
Oh, really? I did not know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it had its actual big premiere of all the stars and everything at Comic-Con itself.
I would have guessed that some other movie had done that before now.
I'm sure actually some like minor film has or something, but this is just what I read.
Right.
Jon Favreau was like, I owed it to the fans.
I owed it to the fans.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the exact quote. I don't know what exactly he felt he owed to the fans.
Is that based on a comic book property, or is that an original?
It is, actually. The guy lives not far from me, actually, because he's in the paper a lot lately now. Yeah, he also did Men in Black.
Oh, all right.
And a few other comic things. He actually wrote a letter to Entertainment Weekly disgusted at the fact that it's kind of famous. It's been I saw it around a few blogs, too. Disgusted at the fact that they didn't mention him at all as coming up with the whole Cowboys vs. Aliens thing.
Huh.
Cowboys and Aliens. I don't know why I keep calling it. I want Cowboys to vs. Aliens, I think is what I'm getting
yeah.
at here. But not like the aliens in Cowboys vs. I'm talking about the aliens in the Alien movies, right?
Oh, okay. Cowboys versus the aliens from Aliens.
From the, yeah, that's a long title, but I think it worked.
Right.
Anyway. So yeah, it's a comic.
I want to see Predator versus Indians. Let's watch that movie. Did you know the Indians use every part of the Predator?
I'm right. I think they prefer to be called Native Americans.
I'm sorry.
So it's Cowboys versus Native American Redskins.
Okay, got it.
If we're here.
Got it. So
you had a theater experience that you told me you'd share in this show, and then I'll conclude the second part of mine.
Yeah, it was a short one. I was getting ready for Captain America. I was all geared up, and then I see a couple rows ahead of me. This couple brings in a sleeping infant, and I'm like, oh, great. Like, I'm sure Captain America won't have any loud sounds that wake a baby up and make him cry the entire movie. But then I had to, like, I actually sort of had to go back and say, all right, well, you don't know it's going to be a problem. Until it's a problem, don't make it a problem until it's a problem. You know what I mean?
That's a good philosophy, yeah.
Maybe he'll cry once and they'll take him outside right away and it won't even be a problem. And I'm sure they have trouble getting a babysitter, all these things. So, totally forgot about it. And then as I was leaving the theater after the end of the movie, I saw them leaving too with the baby who was still completely asleep. So either this baby was dead.
Which is possible,
or it was the most well-behaved baby ever, or I somehow didn't hear it, but they were pretty close. So kudos to those guys, and I'm sorry I mentally called you bad parents before it was even an issue.
And now you're doing it officially on a podcast.
I'm officially apologizing on the podcast. Look at it that way.
Their kid may listen to years from now.
Right, that's kid. Say, kid I'm has saying. His own Facebook account. I already friended him.
Already, I'm yeah. sure. That could be an issue, right? My theater was pretty excited about Captain America. We had some kids in Captain America shirts.
Cool.
A lot of cheering, of course, with the Avengers trailer. And something, oh yeah, I never remember what I was asking you. We're talking about characters that popped up and what they can mean possibly in later on in comic terms. Captain America's like gang of World War II.
Oh, sure.
Like guy with mustache and like kind of Asian guy and all those people. Were they from the comics? Because guy with mustache got a big cheer when he first showed up on screen.
I also cheered in my theater, or at least I clapped or something. Yes, that is the Howling Commandos. Actually, from the originally from the book, Nick Fury and his Howling Commandos. So Nick Fury was a war character as well.
Did Nick Fury get frozen in ice at some point?
I don't remember how they justified bringing him back or how he has lived this
like,
long.
He's back in black. Forget about it.
I think they said something about, I mean, he is old, but I think they said something about, he's had some shield enhancements that make him live. I don't know what they did.
Okay.
Like, there's other characters from that era that are back to. Oh, no, I'll tell you this in a second. Other characters from out that from that era too that are back that I'm sure they each have their own stupid explanation for why they're alive. But yeah, they were in a book with Nick Fury as the leader, and the dude with the hat is Dum Dum Dugan, who
Awesome.
everybody loves. And then they had a range of, as you could tell, ethnic stereotype sidekicks who were
Yeah.
all fighting for America. And that actor was somebody we should know, wasn't he playing Dum Dum
Yeah.
Dugan?
He's known lately for like Lost. He's in Legion as well. He's always playing pretty like big villains, I guess, if anything.
Yeah, Timothy Dum Dum Dugan. Neil McDonough. What do I know him from, though? I wonder. Oh, he was in Star Trek: First Contact. Minority Report. That's what I know him from.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, he was really good. So yeah, those guys are indeed from the comics, and I thought they were used to great effect. I guess obviously they didn't want to confuse people by having Sam Jackson appear as Nick Fury in the past or anything like that. But that it was cool that they were there. Also, another great nod to the comics that I just now thought of when you were talking about people cheering at things. The first like spine-chilling moment I got when I saw this was in the Tony Stark Expo of like of you know inventions and things. I don't know if you noticed as they're panning across the crowd, there's this image of like a guy like a guy looks like a guy in like a red suit under glass. You see that?
No, I don't remember this.
It's like looks like a blonde guy. It looks like I think in the it's meant to be a model of a guy or something in the actual in the movie. But anyway, that's the first Human Torch, like the android Human Torch. That's one of the very first Marvel characters ever created. I think it's on
Oh,
like Marvel
cool.
Comics number one. And they had done so many like Captain America's one of the early ones. They'd done so many nods to the original stuff. It was cool to see that. And he's meant to be an android, so it makes sense that he's there at Tony Stark's thing.
That's really neat.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's super nerdy too.
I love
So
that they threw that in. Yeah,
good
anyway,
for them.
Howling Commandos.
Well, there's like a whole nother level to this movie. It worked fine, just as kind of like, see, and this is what I mean by when you don't throw all that stuff in there like Thor had about having to reference all these other superheroes, you can actually do it in this whole nother level where it works out better. This to me was like more of a Spider-Man type thing where anyone can enjoy it, I guess.
That's true.
And that's why Captain America works better, I
I feel
think.
dumb for not knowing the Cosmic Cube, though. How could I possibly miss that?
See, I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. Because
I
I
think
think
you are.
you. Yeah, you told me that I think that was the Cosmic Cube at the end of Thor. That's what makes me think. I mean, we know it's the same thing, so yeah, it had to be the Cosmic Cube,
I
right?
forgot that that was even what they had at the end of Thor. I don't know why I don't remember that. Oh well.
Because that was one of the like kind of lame tags, but now in retrospect, it looks pretty awesome with Captain
Totally
America. Yeah,
related.
that's cool. My second theater experience. I'll move this right along. I mean, we don't want to pad the show too much.
Please.
when we last left a little Logan off at the bus stop, he had just seen Caddyshack, right?
Sure.
So the very next night, I head over to the Bell Court. The Bell Court is a theater in Nashville. I have to mention by name, I have to name drop it because it's pretty well known. If you're ever around the Nashville area, there's chances are you'll and you're in the films and/or kind of a big dork or hipster, you'll be there for some reason. You'll probably be hanging out the ranks of Nicole Kidman, Ben Folds, Jack White. All these people are spotted there instantly, all the time. And you and I have been there in the past. I saw Christmas Vacation, Monty Python's Holy Grail. You and I saw an original non-dubbed subtitle print of Godzilla there. I saw this is funny trivia about this is like one of those things that like what how well do you really know Logan? When he tells you this, you must know him pretty well. I saw The Notebook there with Nicholas Sparks. Which is
Well,
kind
you
of
were
weird.
his
Yeah,
date.
I was his date for the
It's
night.
not that
Yeah,
weird.
I was his escort actually. Right?
Oh,
Hey,
sorry.
okay. That's a
It's
lot
a
more
business
classy.
transaction.
Basically, they always try to do something to the experience. They don't just show old movies; they show them with purpose. And they, when for instance, when we saw Godzilla, they had the like the professor of Japanese studies or something like that from Vanderbilt University come in
Yeah.
and intro it, and they, you know, they do all sorts of stuff like that, right?
Right. He needed subtitles too, unfortunately. That was the problem.
Yeah, that was. I think you and I did make fun of him, and it was very non-PC, whatever we said. Probably Captain lame Captain America jokes. Captain America
Yeah.
punches you in the face.
Give hell to Hitler.
Well, okay. So the thing the Bell Court's known for the most, though, is that you know there's old movies like this first experience I just mentioned to you. You know, we saw Caddyshack, right? Well, we didn't see a film print of Caddyshack. What the Bell Court's known for is they actually dig up film prints of these movies, and a lot of it comes from collectors. And you know, there are a lot of people, Joe Dante, for instance, just throwing a name out there, someone who collects old film prints, and you know, you want to find like the best. To me, like with my National Films, you want to find the best copy of one possible.
Right.
And that's the one you want to have in your personal collection. Well, they, you know, they go out, they seek out these people, and they find these, and they'll find, they never show anything besides the actual film itself. They go way out of their way to find this, right? Well, Ryan, I was there for the midnight showing of Rock and Roll High School. 1979 was never released by, you know, it was American International, Roger Corman. So it was never released by major companies. This is a hard film print to find, right?
Right.
So I was there, and you know, even more so than Caddyshack, this theater filled up fast. Think about people, you know, kids our age with mustaches. This is kind of the crowd you're getting here. You know, like the hipsters, right? The cut off blue jeans on the guys and everything.
I mean, if you're like Rock and Roll High School, it's probably at least a little bit ironically.
Yeah, yeah, right. But you know, I like it because obviously, once again, Joe Dante is involved, Dick Miller, Paul Bartel's involved.
Sure.
Roger Corman, of course, is in there too.
The Ramones.
The Ramones. I mean, I could go on and on here. But anyway, so I'm really excited. First time I've ever seen this movie of a crowd. It's getting packed. And you know, at this point, it's one of those movies I've seen so many times. It doesn't matter how rude or how much people talk during the movie, right? This is like you're seeing this movie with a crowd. It's kind of cool. So that once again, the guy comes out. And he does this, you know, this is a you know, different theater, obviously. He does a completely different spiel. This one's more, once again, we're at a beer theater. They actually have, I think they called it the Lab Mice or something like that. So it's a special alcohol drink that they made up. They always do one based on the movie itself. You know, the mice in Rock and Roll High School are memorable because they explode when they play Ramones music. You may remember this, yeah. So anyway, it's obvious this guy's had a few now. And he's really excited. He's throwing out Ramones references and everything. He's getting the audience all revved up for this. Well, while he's doing this, and we're like four or five rows from the front, so we're right down there where he's talking, he turns to the guy's like, "You are so busted!" And this guy's on his cell phone. He completely calls this guy out in the theater, Ryan, for being on his cell phone. And that leads into his big spiel about making sure you turn off all cell phones. And he then from there went to, I didn't notice, but someone in the audience called him out on this. It was really funny. A Dungeons & Dragons reference about what would happen to you if you left your cell phone on. anyway, he then got serious, and he said, "Yeah, we are serious. We kick you out after one warning." So this is now, like, now I'm sitting in the Alamo Draft House, you know? Like, this is what people want, and this is why people are coming to this. And that's what he goes on to say. He says that we are trying to offer something. We know that something different that we can offer from the chains is that you're going to get an actual movie experience here. You're going to see a film print of the movie, and you're going to not have to deal with people on their cell phones and everything.
That's great.
That's what we want to bring. And so that made me think that this combined with what I had the night before at Caddyshack, there is a big backlash going on. And people are paying now for that. You know what I mean? People, I'm paying for not having to look at a cell phone the whole time.
Yeah.
And seeing movies the way they were meant to be seen. After saying that, I can tell you this. He goes on to say, he's like, "This film print's actually pretty bad." It looks like it was his exact quote. "It looks like it was found in one of the Ramones' closets." And he used some film terms after that. He went on to say, I think red-tinted is the word he used. Which some chemical reaction film has after a while. He says it had burned before. You'll notice the splice. The audio will drop off for a second or two. But that being said, Ryan, this was an amazing film experience. To actually see a movie on film once again. But I felt like I was actually in a grindhouse watching this movie because it looked the way that Tarantino and Rodriguez and all these other people are trying to make their movies look now. You know, it was had all those like skips and jumps and everything, and it was perfect. I actually own by mistake, not by mistake, because I want the best version possible. Because
I went to the wrong house.
I actually own by mistake Dick Miller. It's kind of weird. No, I actually own by mistake. Two different versions of Rock and Roll High School, and you know one is even more cleaned up than the one before. One being the Rhino release, and the next one being the Shout Factory release of the Roger Corman's Classic Collection.
Yeah,
both are incredibly cleaned up, and I love those to death. And I love watching those all the time. I've seen them so many times. I've forgotten like what this movie might actually look like back in the day when you would have seen it. You know,
right?
And this was a real experience, and it matched a Roger Corman produced, like Joe Dante uncredited directed. Although he gets the screenwriting credit, which is nice. Movie, you know, this is everything I ever wanted in every way I ever wanted to see this movie, and the audience was going nuts, and it was just completely enjoyable. And so the real, I guess, what I was saying with these two stories, Ryan, is that the real theater experience is still out there. It's just, I guess, I don't want to say it like this, but Avoid the Chains, maybe, is where I'm going with this. People are offering this. It's just a matter of trying to find it now.
You know, you're right. And that's an excellent point. For as often as I complain about the theater experience, I live in Chicago. There's plenty of smaller theaters I probably should go to get this more authentic experience.
And if, you know, they're showing, like, movies like Caddyshack and Rock and Roll High School back-to-back in Nashville, right? And you know Chicago's showing you, like, even better movies. If they're doing a double feature of Logan films in Nashville, they're probably doing a Chevy Chase marathon in Chicago.
That I don't even know about.
So get out there and see it. That's the Chevy Chase story leads into my next story. The guy, you know, they're getting all these film prints and everything. I'll be going back there in 2 weeks to see probably the most amazing double feature of my entire life. Starting at 10 p.m., we have Pee-wee's Big Adventure, followed by a midnight showing of Vacation. Now, how awesome is this, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, this is film prints of both. Well, I had turned to my sister and my girlfriend with me at the time, and I said, "Oh man, wouldn't it be cool if they showed a trailer for those movies before Rock and Roll High School?" And they're like, "Won't happen, Logan, you know?"
Shut up, Logan.
Sure enough, okay. Now, it's the same trailers you can watch on your DVD copies, and you might want to go watch them again right now to get the full effect of the story. But basically, the Pee-wee trailer opens with the opening chords of Tequila.
Right.
So if you know right away what you're about to see, right? Well, as soon as that starts, and little Warner Brothers comes up for Pee-wee's Big Adventure, the crowd was already crazy. By the time Pee-wee actually appeared on the screen, they were going nuts. Everyone's clapping and cheering, having a great time. You can't even hear a single thing Pee-wee's saying. But I'm okay with all that, right?
Right.
So that ends. They're laughing, and everyone's like, "Oh, we're gonna come see that, right? Right." Well, I know what's coming next, obviously. Well, the very next one that comes on, if you've seen this trailer on your DVD, you'll know how it starts too, is National Lampoon's Vacation. And this opens the same way. It's a Warner Brothers logo, but obviously you haven't seen Chevy or anything. And it's the opening chords of Holiday Road, right?
Right, perfect.
In a completely silent theater, you hear Logan go, "Woo!" One person was excited about Vacation, Ryan. That's what it's come to. And I was like, you know, if this was like Stripes or some classic Bill Murray movie, the audience would once again be going crazy right now. But Vacation's like at the dead spot. I assume when I go see Pee-wee's Big Adventure / National Lampoon's Vacation, they'll leave after the Pee-wee, you know?
Did people get into it when they knew it was Vacation?
Once they started showing clips, which was, you know, the funny stuff, people were laughing at that. But no one was ever cheering or, you know, like laughing and talking the whole time like they were through Pee-wee.
Yeah.
There wasn't that general buzz of excitement that they got with Pee-wee.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm okay with all that. I'm super excited that they're showing Vacation, and hopefully there'll be enough of a crowd there to love it. Another thing I thought that it's, you know, if they, like, redid this Vacation trailer now, they'd definitely blow up written by John Hughes.
Yes.
And that itself would pack the theater, I think.
Yes.
Because I still think there's tons of people that do not know that John Hughes wrote three of the Vacation movies.
Yeah.
I think a lot of, it's weird because John Hughes fans like pick and choose what they like. A lot of them will say like, "Oh, I only like the stuff he directed," or "That seems to be the only stuff they like." But then you point out something like Pretty in Pink, which he didn't direct. And, you know, they're like, "Oh, really?" Like, you know, that's, if you want to, I don't know how you define a true John Hughes film, but that's not it. He didn't even like the ending that they shot in Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, well, you know, he's all over the map, really. But, I mean, he's done a lot of great work in all sorts of different capacities, whether it be writer, director, et cetera.
And I absolutely love John Hughes, and yeah. I love that he's done all sorts of stuff like that, too. You know, though, I lean more towards his adult comedy, St. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Vacations.
Yes.
Because I think not only, I think a lot of people, you know, they're like, "Oh, John Hughes knew teen life. They knew what it's like," and that sort of thing. But people completely look past the fact that he really knew family life, too.
Yeah.
Knew exactly what it's like to be, like, you know, over 30 and stuck in that dead-end job and everything, and how you relate to other people through that.
That doesn't make just having a baby a good movie.
No. Don't. I won't go
let's
that
get,
far.
Let's get straight.
I remember thinking that was a mediocre movie, though.
It's not a terrible movie, but it's not great.
But I can see why that's kind of like in there with the forgotten John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
But that makes several of his other movies pretty awesome. And, you know, even his later stuff, I'm all about some Home Alone, too. And I just got from Netflix his live-action version of 101 Dalmatians, which I haven't watched yet.
Wait, that was John Hughes?
Yeah, he wrote the first. He didn't write 102 Dalmatians. But, yeah, he wrote the first one, Glenn Close.
I didn't know that. That was an okay movie.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember much of it. I remember liking it as a kid, though, young Hugh Laurie, of course, running around in it and things like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, well, that's the conclusion of my theater experience stories.
There's one last thing I forgot to tell you. On the way to Captain America, I was on a bus.
There was a baby on the bus.
Yeah. No, I really wish I tried to get you. I tried to get you a picture, but I couldn't quite. There was a guy on the bus who was the alternate reality version of Chevy Chase. He looked.
Love it.
If you imagine Chevy from like 86 or 7, but imagine that he got really fat, but somehow still had hair. This was Chevy Chase, and he was reading a magazine article, and he was doing that Chevy acting like he's reading face, where he's sort of like, his lips are twitching, like, "Oh, I'm paying attention to something."
Right, but something Goofy's building.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't fall over, so I was worried about that, but I really wish I had somehow gotten you a picture, because it was just like, Chevy's like unknown fat brother. It was amazing.
I was trying to think of a goofy name for Chevy's unknown fat brother.
Eldorado Chase.
Eldorado Chase.
Of course, would be the name.
Terrible, yes. Oh, I love it, though. I'm disappointed I didn't get a picture now, but this guy would probably wonder why. That's probably why he looked like he was reading. He's wondering when you're going to take a picture.
Right, exactly. Just waiting.
What's going on?
It's funny, like, I kept debating whether I could do it without anyone noticing and me being weird, and I finally figured I would try, but just as I did, somebody sat down on the bus next to me and blocked me, so.
Yeah, that's.
Always
I always go the community route. See, indirectly reference Chevy. It's not actually Chevy. It's Mikkel in one episode. when he's someone Vaughn had written a poem for Britta, and he's reading the poem. It's like in his lap, and he takes his phone and he's like, "Oh, getting a text message, receiving message, and message received." And the whole that's what he's doing as he's taking the picture.
Right.
You got to say it out loud like that, Ryan. They think all that, yeah.
Right, right, right.
It's the way I do it now, at least.
Oh man.
But pretty funny, pretty funny. Wow, both of us. It's funny because you and I actually hung out this week. And it's when we separated that we had the true Logan and Ryan experience, I think.
It's always the way.
We're doing the stuff that, like, I was like, Ryan would love this. And you were like, oh, Logan would love this. I'm seeing Chevy Chase's brother here.
We've confused the universe. Well, you were here. Well, there wasn't too many wacky annex, but, like, back in your hometown, it was all sorts of wacky annex, and they just, we can't get them all coordinated.
There's that ticker tape parade for you. I had to give the bad news that you weren't coming.
That's right.
So, but anyway. Interesting week it was, though. But, yeah, fun times with both Harry Potter and Captain America. And we're coming to the end here with Cowboys and Aliens.
We sure are. So, and we'll say again, if you have any ideas for our 100th episode extravaganza, and by that we mean things we can review that are not movies or television shows, anything else as vague of a concept or as obscure of a thing it might be, we'll try to review it. If you go to criticalend.com, you can email us with your suggestion or go to Twitter or Facebook. We're there, too.
That's exactly right. And now stick around for some spoiler duck, as long as you've seen Captain America and or you don't mind being spoiled slightly. It's not really a big, you know, plot point or anything. For the first time, I think we're not actually talking about the end of the movie so much.
If you know the comics, it's also not much of a spoiler, so if, you know, if you're cool with that, it's kind of minor, but it's a lot of cool speculation about what might come. So if you're interested in that, you might want to listen.
Well, let's turn it over now to the soothing end credits of Kevin MacLeod and spoiler duck.
Logan? Speaking my language.
I'll see you next week, Ryan.
Bye.
Kevin MacLeod.
Spoiler Duck says, don't listen if you haven't seen the movie.
Quack, quack.
So, the, we probably don't want to reveal that Bucky dies, right?
Oh, I forgot Bucky. Wait,
I mean,
Bucky died?
Bucky died. Everybody kind of knows Bucky dies. I mean, if you know anything about the comics, you know Bucky dies, but I guess a lot of people probably don't know the comic going in.
Last name you said it was something awesome. I remember you telling me
Bucky Barnes.
Bucky Barnes. See, in my head, it's Bucky Buckers.
James Bucky Barnes.
James Bucky Barnes. Oh,
I was
dear.
So happy when they brought... I was like, I didn't even know if Bucky was going to be in the movie, and he appears really early.
We actually discussed this, and I remember we kind of joked around about it and everything. But yeah, the fact that he's just like, I'm Bucky. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Okay, I know what's going on here. Well, how did he die? I don't even remember that.
He defends Cap from that guy shooting him with a shield, and then he falls at the side of the train.
Oh, right. Oh, no, but he's not dead, Ryan.
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
Okay, no, he can't be. It's the old bit where if you don't see them die, they obviously are not dead. It's the same thing, I think Red Skull, I think he got, like, sucked into, like, Odin's world or something like that.
Well, as long as you're talking about things, obviously Red Skull's going to meet up with Loki and be in Avengers.
Oh, no, of course, right, because we actually see that at the end of Thor, you know, Loki saw it was still there at the cosmic cube or whatever, right. So that's going to happen for sure. But yeah, I feel like the same thing. I don't know where Bucky will show up. Probably not in the Avengers movie, but they definitely did that to set him up again later on.
Well, let me tell you what happens in the comics, which I really think would be great if it happened in one of the movies, like a potential Captain America sequel or Avengers. So when I saw that they had Bucky at all, I wondered how they were going to use him. And what happens in the comics is Bucky is Captain America's teen sidekick. He's like the little, you know, the Robin to Captain America, right? Which is cool how they did it in this movie because Bucky ends up being a lot more muscular and, like, leading man in Captain America until the transformation, and then it reverses.
Sidekicks got it bad. Like, their names are always Robin. Or
oh,
Bucky.
Yeah. Well, they're
I
all,
mean, it's pretty
it's
rough.
Cute. It's kids to kid names. It's, you know,
exactly.
It's fun.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, in the comics, I don't know if they died together or if he died – I think Bucky died first falling out of a plane or something, and then Captain America was ostensibly killed shortly after, although, of course, they brought him back later with the ice flow trick, right?
Yeah, someone had to punch Hitler.
Right. So, well, no, this is way after Hitler. That's the whole point. It's the 60s.
No, Hitler's frozen too, Ryan.
Oh, they saved Hitler's brain?
You really missed that arc, see? They saved Hitler's brain, yes.
So, Bucky, you know, everyone in comics dies and comes back. And that's just a thing. And they said there are only two characters in comics who will never come back. Bucky, because he's been dead since the 40s, and also nobody wanted to bring Bucky back.
Yeah, sad day.
And Jason Todd Robin, who eventually did come back. But they did, and here's how they did it. There was a character, and again, I'm a huge Captain America fan. If somebody listening says I'm wrong, please write it in. But there was a character called the Winter Soldier, who was a Captain America villain, who was like a sharpshooter type assassin, okay? And Captain America fought him a couple of times. They never revealed his identity.
Okay.
Winter Soldier is Bucky. Like, they saved Bucky, and the Nazis brainwashed him, and all this time it's been Bucky, and no one's ever known.
It's like the Tron 2 thing.
Right, exactly. And they make a point in Captain America to show Bucky shooting a sniper rifle and save and like being a great shot.
Oh, I'm all about this now. This is exciting, yeah.
Right? So I'm hoping that Bucky comes back as a brainwashed villain and then Cap has to turn him or something.
Yes, and that being said, they could easily work that into the Avengers movie somehow.
Yeah.
So I'm for that. That's really awesome.
Yeah. So
thanks for pointing that out, Ryan.
Hopefully that'll happen.